705, to the song of invitation after our lesson this morning. 705, and after you've marked that, let's turn to number 720. 720. Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble of low? Why did he choose a lowly bird? Because he loved me so.
Of headed toward a Thursday that is renowned in our nation, and Thanksgiving is an ideal in mind for God as well, because without His grace and help and understanding that our founding fathers had, they would not have gone through the battles that they did to preserve the freedoms and liberties of this country, because it gives people the very nature of God's love, and that is man can choose to serve Him. God has never been honored by people who had a feeling that they had to do a certain thing. When David had opportunity to do certain things that he did not prepare himself for, work for, labor for, he said, I will not offer unto God that which costs me nothing. The idea about people in life and having the freedoms that they do to choose to serve God, to love God, to be His servant, and to go forth and proclaim His word to others round about us is a way of life that God wanted us to do. If you would be making your way to Luke chapter 17 this morning in this regard, we're going to combine the idea of love and thanksgiving together, because that is fitting for us to have. The idea of loving God as we should is mentioned to us in 1 John chapter 4 at verse 10, which tells us that we love Him because He first loved us. Not that we loved Him, but He first loved us. We love God because He first loved us. He loved us and showed a way of life to us, taught about us His Son coming to this earth and the death that He died, the resurrection that he submitted him to, so that he would come back to glory, be with him glorified in that way. It was a wonderful deed that God, the Heavenly Father, did, showing his great power and his great strength in the regard to overcoming even death by way of his Son. It is the occasion that as we read this, we read we love him because he first loved us. When we find ourselves in verse 20 of that chapter, in 1 John chapter 4 at verse 20, he speaks in regard to the love of other people around about us. We love them because God loved us, and he was the one who taught us about this love and taught us to be the person of love. We love people. We love the souls of mankind. Don't always love what people do, neither do they love what we do. But the idea is that we love them individually. We love them because of their eternal nature by which they're crowned with God himself. We're taught in regard to this matter in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9 that we all have fathers of the flesh and we reverence them. How much more should we reverence God, who's the Father of our spirit, that we may live? The idea of not living eternally with God, our Heavenly Father, comes from a respect that we have for him. If we have just a respect for our earthly father, it's a good thing. They should be respected. They should be respected enough to be helped and aided in life. And the fellowship that we have with them is an outstanding fellowship. But the idea of them and the flesh came about as a result of our mothers and our fathers. It is the case that we look at our outward appearance and we are there because of them. Many of us have the same hairstyle, we have the same smile, the same disposition, and the same fingers, and so forth and so on, that they have had. We have inherited from them. But more so, we do inherit this from God, our Heavenly Father. More should we reverence God, who is the Father of our spirit. There is a spirit that is within us, a spirit that is taught to be, a spirit that is telling that which is good and righteous and holy. When our Lord Jesus talked about the Spirit that is within us in John 6 and 63, and he said regarding this matter that this Spirit that is within us is a Spirit that is within us that we speak words of truth and we speak the words of the Spirit of God within us. We have a way, the Spirit and truth are there. We have a way to show a disposition of eagerness and help. We have a way in which we live within that way of the truth as well. So let us be people who love the God of heaven and thank God for the fact that the Bible, the Word of God, is not just the Word of mankind, it is the Word of truth. And because it is the truth, we can live by it and we can expect the reward that comes that he's promised by it. We find ourselves expecting and looking forward to that reward that someday we will have because we live faithfully to him here in this world. And as we did not live faithfully to him in this world, we found ourselves in repentance and prayer, being restored to a relationship with him that we had now missed out. We had missed out because of sin and wrongdoing in our lives that was recommitted and redevoted to. But if we find ourselves coming back to God in repentance and prayer, as we read in Acts 8 and 20, we find ourselves being people that God really loves and appreciates a lot. He wants us to do that. He loves us and cares for us that way. We're thankful that God will allow us to come back home. We're allowed that God will allow us to come back to him. We're thankful that God will accept us someday in that regard. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23 speaks in regarding this kingdom of God that is eternal. And we should thank God for the kingdom eternal, that we find ourselves rewarded in that presence of God because we worship and serve him in the kingdom of his love. When Jesus talked about that kingdom in Mark 9 at verse 1 and said regarding this matter that the kingdom of God is going to be revealed to you, it's going to be revealed in this generation to you. It is the case that he was talking about the church of the Lord, the kingdom, in which the kingdom would come about in their lifetime. It came about in their lifetime. As they were living on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, well, the church came about. The kingdom of God's dear Son. In Ephesians chapter 1, he talked about praising God, who took us out of darkness and put us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. And so we have that salvation that came about because we were buried in water unto his death, raised to walk in newness of life, and when we were buried with him, we were united with his blood. We were united with his blood, and therefore we have remission of our sins. And we're thankful to God for that remission of our sins. And as a result, we look to God and we thank him for that privilege of being his child and being with him eternally as he has shed his blood that we might have an eternal life with him. We talk about things that are eternal. We talk about God who loved us is eternal. We talked about his way of life that he taught is eternal. We talk about the kingdom of God being eternal. But you know there's a way in which thankfulness is to be offered for the blessings of God as we live on this earth. In Luke chapter 17, our Lord Jesus was coming down to Jerusalem, beginning in verse 11. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered in a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stand afar off. They were taught by the law of Moses that they should not be around people. They should not be passing that illness along to others. And they were to stand away at a distance. And as a result, these men were at a distance. But when they saw Jesus suddenly come into their village, they recognized who he was. Perhaps they had talked about this great miracle worker who had been in other places and helped others in raising the dead, in turning the water into wine there at their wedding in John chapter 2. And all this sort of thing was being, they knew of him and they said, oh, they said to him, Master, have mercy on us. In verse 13. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. That was the way in which they were declared to be free from the leprosy. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And it says, and he was a Samaritan. No one would have thought, among even the apostles at that point in time, the disciples that they were, they would have never thought that a Samaritan would be a person who would be appreciative of any blessings that came about to him. They would think that he was a person who took and took and never said a word of thanks at all. Yet, significantly, here is the Samaritan among the ten who comes and kneels down at the feet of Jesus and thanks him for the blessing that he now has. His flesh is clean. He is mended. We read a situation here about thankfulness, however, that is unique in its ways. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Verse 17 of Luke 17, verse 10, 17. Luke 17, verse 17 has this question that is answered within the question itself. A rhetorical question that Jesus asked. Were there not 10 that were cleansed? Where are the 9? One saw he was cleansed, stopped, glorified God in heaven that he was now made whole, came to Jesus' feet and bowed down to him and thanked him. Was Jesus not grateful for this one that came to do that when he said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Or was he emphasizing to the whole world at large that would ever read these words, we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful that God is. We need to be thankful that God loved us. We need to be thankful that God helps us. We need to be thankful that God blesses our daily walk of life and entrance into the kingdom of His dear Son. We need to be thankful to God in the blessings that we have in life. And here is a question for you and me. Are we as thankful as we ought to be? Are we thankful as we get out on the roads and thank God? Do we thank God for His providence in life? In Romans chapter 8, vividly it is said, all things will work together for good to them that love the Lord and to those that are the called according to His purpose. Many, many times in life, we get in an automobile, before we get on the road, we stop to thank God for His providential care, and that in this trip, our providence of God will be with us and not have accidents on the road as we travel. You know, we're just 3 or 4 feet away from another 60-mile-an-hour vehicle that we're passing on the road. We're just 3 or 4 feet away from them. We're 3 or 4 feet away from sudden tire blowout that jerks that vehicle our way. I had that to happen in my life, not a tire blowout, but I had a tire rod end that broke. Not very far from here, over Dorothy Askew, Mississippi, 1976. I left home to go up that way because that was the quickest way to the hospitals in that day and time. I'd go up number 3 highway, be up there, and I'd be right there at John Gaston's Hospital. I'd be up there real close to Baptist, and of course later on the Methodist Hospital over there, just across the interstate. But that would be a quick trip from Ruval up that way. And I went up that way, and I came off that bridge that is right there just north of Askew. It's a turn, Highway 4 meets it. And when my vehicle, a Rambler that I had, that I loved and enjoyed very much, came off that edge, they'd been working on that particular bridge. And there was laid there a piece of steel that was balancing coming off that bridge onto that. However, with trucks coming by and everything, the highway patrolman thought that it possibly was just a vibration that it created the situation where that piece of steel wasn't there. It was slid off and down. And when my vehicle came across that and came down off of that highway, off that bridge, that left tire rod end broke. The gentleman that I hit that day, he was in his automobile. I still see him in my mind's eye. He, his wife, his mother was in the car with them. 3 children were in the back seat. They were all on the back of the seat. They were before the days of seat belts and everything, you know. And they were all leaned over the seat. And I remember their hands being like this over the seat. 2 girls and a little boy. That gentleman told the officer, he said, this man was doing everything he could to straighten up that vehicle, but it kept coming over in my lane. It was coming that direction. I thank the Lord for the providence of coming. I drove it on down into that field. It was full of cotton in those days and time. Dust was everywhere. It was in July. And dust was just everywhere. But the car door wouldn't open. But, you know, the strength that you have sometime when you don't know that you have it, open that door. And as a result, I was out on the ground on that way. I walked back up that particular, ran back up that hillside right there on that road. And I got up there on the highway and I looked and I didn't see anybody. I didn't see anybody at all. But across the road on the other side, he had driven his vehicle down in that way too. Old gentleman that I did not realize that I had passed back at Askew because he was just slowly going about on a Sunday drive. I just ripped out and passed him. Well, had pulled up at about the time in that curve to see that happen. He was waiting back there all the time. I saw the white pickup truck that he was in, but I never thought about it. the law officer arrived and everything, and he stopped and he said, how many fatalities are here in this accident? And we looked at one another, and the man and his family were up on the highway by that time. None. He said, how many we called an ambulance for? And we looked around at one another. Do you need ambulance? I don't need ambulance. I was bleeding a little bit from glass cuts on my face. None. I remember he's taking his hat off, putting it on his patrol car front, leaning back against the grill and say, I'm going to enjoy this one because you don't have very many to be like this. Tell me what happened. By this time, that little white pickup truck had come up right behind his vehicle. He had come out, he bounded out of that one, and he said, I saw it all, officer, I saw it all. I tell you, everything took place on that thing. The officer said, wait a minute, go back to your truck, please, and wait a minute, I'll get your report on this matter. Let me get it from the people here first. So he did, he went back. But he saw everything. When I explained what took place, to my knowledge, something happened and something broke on it, something. We walked back down the road there and he said, it was your tie rod and it broke on this thing. And the other car was struck and they ended up at the other side. We switched sides and went down the embankment both ways. When this gentleman came up, he said, I saw it. He said, I saw this car. It passed me back yonder. How fast was he going when he passed you? Oh, regular speed limit. I was just sloping around, and he passed me back there. But I said, I saw him go off this bridge, and all of a sudden, to the left, he went, and he struck that automobile, and they flew out into those fields. The officer said, flew out in those fields? Yes, sir. They went back, they buckled up in the air and said, they flew out in those fields. He said, come go with me, sir. He took him and he walked down, he showed him. He said, now this is where the accident took place as a mark on the road. He said, do you look that way? What do you see? I see tires. How he did it, I don't know, but Mr. Rawson drove that vehicle down that embankment into that field. How he did it, I don't know, but he did. He drove it down in there. Look at this other way. This man drove his vehicle down into that field too. He had a big car like an Oldsmobile, big old 98 Oldsmobile. He drove in that field too. He said, but I saw him up in the air. He said, well, let me explain to you. It happened so fast that up in the air is what your mind was told by you blinking your eyes, and it happened. In that blink, they were out into the fields. But it did not happen. You can see those cars are too heavy to do that. They didn't leave the ground. Both of these gentlemen drove those vehicles into the fields. How they did it, I don't know, but they did drive those vehicles in the field. I got in the vehicle with the law officer. He's taking me to Senatobia. In those days and times, they didn't have a hospital like we don't now, but they didn't have a hospital, but they had doctor clinics in doctor's offices. And he took me to one there in that doctor's office. And he wanted to bind me up a little bit and everything and all that sort of stuff. And I let it happen. That's another story altogether. But anyway, on the way, the law officer said to me, may have been Mr. Taylor for all I know in those days. He said, I hated to say anything to that old gentleman in that white pickup truck. He said, but you know the way he said that y'all flew off those roads? He said, by the time he got back to the coffee shop to tell others, you would have flown completely out of the county. I had to tell him.
those wheels are obvious that they didn't leave the ground. Well, we didn't leave the ground and had that to happen. That can take place in life. But we thank God for His reference to His good providence in the lives and minds of those who drive their automobiles. And just a few feet away from them, something can happen. But have you prepared for the fact that there might be a fatal collision? And as a result of that, thank God for the home that we have that we're going to. Thank God for the hope of the soul that we can have. Thank God for the reward that here after this life is over. The Spirit of God thanks Him. In Revelation 14 and 13, He says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit." The Spirit is listening to the things that are being said by the Heavenly Father. "Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." Indeed, we can find ourselves a home with God in His right way, where there are not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? There were not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger. And He said unto him, "Arise and go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Indeed, a blessing came to his life because of that. And it was a wonderful blessing that came, and how thankful he should and was to Jesus for doing what he did. Do we thank him for our salvation? Do we thank him for his providential care for us from day to day in everything that we see and do? For the information that we have about electricity, to work with electricity and to work with it successfully, we thank God for working that way instead of shocking us. Do we thank God for the opportunity we have to rear a herd of cows and the fact that we have knowledge and ability to do that? Thank God for that way of life. That's the way of thanksgiving. As well as thankful for our families and thankful for the joys that we have together. It's a wonderful blessing. Wouldn't take anything for my mom and my dad. Although at this point in time of the way that the countryfied is, I've told Miss Jane more time than once, I'm glad that they're not living now to face the things that we face in our government and in our country and things of that nature. I know that they would be wearied by what they see and hear. God bless you, everyone. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, remember that He is the author of eternal salvation, that obey Him, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. And so it is, you can obey Him today, and you can find that salvation that He offers you. As you're baptized into Christ, anointed by the blood of Christ, you will be free from every stain and every sin of your life. It's a new way of life to walk in now. And as we walk in that new way of life, we have a way of prayer. And as we pray to God and thank Him for the blessings every day, and thank Him for the privilege of calling upon Him to forgive us of our wrongdoings, as we grow in Him, we are ever more appreciative of God. You can do that today. As we stand together, let us sing this word of encouragement to you.
And
holding up his banner in the thickest fight,
listening for his orders, ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus, serving him today? Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? Jesus, who makes me wise.
Sunday night, 6 o'clock, we have our Saturday service here, and I'll be part two of this congregation tonight. And thank you for being here and ever blessing for your life during this week. Don't forget to be here tonight, please. And you may have not had opportunity to be here Wednesday night, but you can on Tuesday. You come and see these classes and enjoy the classes and everything that we have on Tuesday at 7 o'clock.
Let's turn to number 446.
Less 25 are gathered in thy presence. You are there in the midst of them. And as a result of being in our midst today, we trust that you have received our thankfulness for your love and care and your grace and providence. Bless everyone here today in every way for good, in Jesus' name. Amen.